Blog Talk Radio.
And every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. So in everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine.
Well, good evening and praise the Lord and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. Hi, I'm Brother Mike, your host this evening, and tonight we have Pastor Steve Lee here with us once again, and he's going to be doing part three of Faithful Is He That Calleth You. Amen. As always, I do thank you for your continued support of this ministry, and we would like to encourage you, please, grab a pencil and paper, take notes as we get ready to dive into tonight's teaching on Faithful Is He That Calleth You. All right, Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
All right. Thank you, Brother Mike. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for, again, joining us. So if you would, just join your heart in a word of prayer, and we'll get started by going into the word for this evening. Father, I ask you to speak to me so I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we want to get into part three of Faithful Is He That Calleth You. I have made mention that when we receive anything from God, purpose, inspiration, revelation by his spirit, then I want you to know he's the one that started the process and he wants to be there to see it to completion. He has called us into his plans, into his purpose. And his plans are not limited. I might say that again. He has invited us into his plans, into his purpose. And his plans are not limited. No matter what we face, no matter what we go through, we must remember that he is faithful that calleth you. We've got to remember that. See, sometimes we feel like God gives us partial instructions, and nothing could be further from the truth. If God calls you, then he's going to cause his faithfulness to be seen in your life. Let's look at this again. I'm just going to look at some scriptures here. Psalms 89. So that we can look at it. 89. And let's look at verse 28 and following. He says, my mercy, is talking to David. And so, see, if you see a scripture, then I want you to know that no scripture is of any private interpretation. So if he was speaking to David and you read it, he is now speaking to you. If he was speaking to Jesus and you read it, he is now speaking to you. That's why the word of God is alive. Because as you read it, it brings life into you. Jesus said this, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. See? So Jesus only spoke what he heard the Father say. All right? So then that means that as it was recorded, Jesus revisited it by his words, by speaking it, by making declarations. So then when you read that same declaration, the life that was in that word when it was spoken is now available to you. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Okay? We need to resign ourselves to this thought. See, because sometimes I find that we argue with God's purpose because we argue with his word. All right, if you can just resign yourself to the truth that if God said it, that really should settle it. Okay, let's look at this. Just a couple of things to cause you to really see that. Okay, again, from the word. Verse 28 of Psalms 89. My mercy will I keep for him forever. So then we can just say that because if he said it to David, he just said it to me. My mercy will I keep for him forever. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 says, this I recall to my mind, Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. See, we are understanding and dealing with the faithfulness of God. Once you hear a promise, that promise is active until that promise is possessed by you. Church I came from, that was part of their daily confession. The word of God, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then he said that faith is the word of God confessed until it is possessed. I don't change my position by saying other things. That's what he told Joshua. He said, this book of the law, Joshua, shall not depart out of your mouth. You're not supposed to stop saying this, Joshua. Well, why should I keep saying this? He says, because if you would meditate therein day and night, then you will observe to do what's written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, then you shall have good success. See, he's always given us the answers. Thank you, Lord. I will even say that. He's always given you the answer before the test. Okay? You have the answer or the test wouldn't be there. Okay? See, we think that because it's not understood by us, then it's not possessed by us. No, you have the answer. Okay? The Holy Ghost is the one that's supposed to bring to your remembrance what Jesus has said. He is not just bringing to your remembrance the thing Jesus wants to say. He's bringing to your remembrance the things Jesus has said. In other words, he is bringing to your remembrance the victory that God wrought in Jesus for you. And we know it was for you because Jesus said, it is finished. We enter into a finished work. See, beloved, we approach things from the position of what's already done. I no longer try to beg and plead God to do anything because he said it's finished. Okay? We'll probably look at that scripture. But we've got to put our heart in the right position, because if he called you, faithful is he that calleth you. See, we can look at that in any way. If he called you out of darkness, then he wants to make sure that you operate in the light, because you were called to walk in light. Okay, you were not called to continue in the darkness that he called you from. See, I mean, if we could just rest our hearts and minds there. See, but we are somewhat accusing God because of circumstances and situations that we're facing. But if we would understand that if I'm facing anything, I already have been given the ability to win. Okay? I'll go to that as soon as I finish this scripture. He says in verse 28 again, my mercy will I keep forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. I mean, you might want to underline these passages in your Bible. He says, I'm going to keep. See, this is the thing that I'm trying to convey to you. God did not just leave his ability to execute in your life what you needed to you. As you believe, let's listen at it, so be it unto you. Okay. As you believe, so be it unto you. That would tell me that if I believe, that which I believe is already here. So be it unto you. He didn't say, as you believe, then you will open up a door and find stuff in there. No. It's already there. If I believe that, than that which is there when I call those things that be not as though they were. That's the power that we have. See, I believe that my deliverance has been promised to me from the word, and I go to the word and the promise in the word and activate the faith that he sent by that same word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And then that word is confessed until it is possessed. All right? I'm just trying to walk you back into the place where it's always going to be about the word. It's not going to be about the situation. If I'm going to make it about the situation and then judge God based on the situation to see if, in fact, he loves me. No, he loved me from the foundation of the world. So if he loved me, and he does, if he loved me from the foundation of the world, then I should not try to gauge that love by what I'm going through. Okay? That would be unfair. That would be unbelief. Because he loved me from the foundation of the world. See, before I could find any trouble to get in, his love was already settled. Okay? See? He sent Jesus to the cross, and Jesus said, "It's finished." That settled the love question. But a lot of times we try to revisit the position of understanding the love of God by whatever I'm facing. And again, that is unfair, and that is unbelief. He just told us, he said, this is what's going to happen. My mercy will I keep for him forever. Even if we don't keep, he says he abides faithful. He lives there. See, he's not going to abandon himself. He's not going to deny himself. He's going to stay there. His faithfulness should never be on trial. Let's do it this way. Wow. His faithfulness should not be on trial. It should be on display. Ooh, that's good. See, if it's on trial, then I don't really believe in it, do I? But if it's on display, then I can look unto it, can't I? Keep your finger there. See, all of these things that I'm giving you, I'm giving them to you so I can build your faith, connect the dots, give you a rope that you will not be able to let go of. You can tie a knot in this rope. Okay. Let's look at Psalms 19. See, I said that his faithfulness should not be on trial. It should be on display. Okay? Look at this. It says in verse 1 of Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run the race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat of it. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, and because it's sure, it makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, and they rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. See, I said his faithfulness should not be on trial. It should be on display. He just told us that all of the heavens with an S, they declare the glory of God. They declare the faithfulness of God. They speak day in and day out. So since they're already speaking, there is no language that they're not heard in. So since faithfulness is speaking, why am I questioning his faithfulness? Do you see what I'm saying? See, we got to just resolve that and stop going to the place where, okay, we are looking into dark skies to see if God is faithful. When he said, come on. This is just what he said. He said that day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. So if I'm looking into dark clouds, he's still speaking, according to this scripture, night unto night. He speaks in the dark thing. See? But we are looking at the dark cloud and asking if God has a word for us. The cloud is already speaking. I said the other day, it was just interesting to me. I remember how God guided the children of Israel with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud of smoke in the daytime. And I looked at that, and I just kind of see, I meditate on insights for scriptures, because I know these scriptures, but I want to get deeper into those scriptures, because the deeper I get into the scripture, the more results I will have in my life. I will live by that word that he's given me. See, I'm supposed to be able to live by every word. So it's enough life in the but that's in the Bible. It's enough life in the and that's in the Bible. Because that would be one of those every words, wouldn't it? So I go and I dig into it, and I begin to ask questions, and I begin to hear answers to those questions. And I said, okay, God, you led them by a pillar of a fire and a cloud of smoke. And here we are judging you because of a cloudy day. That's the way I heard it. I said, wow, I had never thought about how much we allow the enemy to remove us. He guided them by cloudy situation, a cloud in the daytime. And we get mad because it looks like a cloudy day. Instead of looking into that situation, because day unto day there is something to be heard, night unto night there is knowledge to be found. See, we look at the situation and then don't get the answer from the situation that God is giving us. He speaks in darkness. He speaks in clouds. And he does it all the time. See? Just something to think about. It says that the word of the Lord is the statutes of the Lord are right. The word, the law of the Lord is perfect. Okay? I just need for y'all to kind of look at that and say, okay, I need to then stop thinking as if my trial determines my God. If I'm going through nothing, then me and God is okay. No, you would be okay with God if you knew that in the night season, there will be a pillar of fire to get me out of this. There will be in the cloudy day my deliverance if I would simply follow the directions that he's speaking to me from that cloudy day. Okay? I mean, if we can get that. See, but we get nervous, scared. I don't know. We just stop thinking that God is involved because of the clouds. because of the dark. The day and the night is the same to him. He doesn't care. The reason the day and the night doesn't stop him is because he's not just leading you by the illumination. He's leading you by his word, which gives its own illumination. If I'm looking for circumstances to be to line up as right, then I can see right. See, I'm already giving the enemy an entrance into a defeat for me. Because the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. See? So I've got to begin to look at him as the one that is definitely going to speak to me in a dark situation, in a nighttime season, in a cloudy situation. He's going to speak to me. See? And then I need to stop being so thick-headed and dense so that I can start hearing the words that will direct me to the place of victory. And God is so good at his word changing circumstances. But if I'm not holding on to his word, if I'm rather, okay, just look at how we do this. We seem to hold on to the circumstance more than we hold on to the word, because we're using the circumstance to prove that God doesn't love me. So I'm holding on to the circumstance rather than holding on to the word. Okay? This is what he told David. Go back to Psalms 89. My mercy I will keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, as his throne as the days of heaven. I mean, he said, if you're going to look at something, if you're going to gauge something, then gauge it by the days of heaven. He didn't even ask you to gauge it by the days of your life. He asked you to gauge it by the days of heaven. Every time you've looked up, heaven displayed the glory of God. Every time. So let's not look at it as the days of your life. This is not the soap opera thing that as the sand goes through the hourglass, so are the days of our life. No. He wants you to do it by the days of heaven. Okay? If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, even though there will be a visitation and accountability, he says, even in this accounting, I still, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. So he just told you, because of the days of heaven, this is how he wants you to track it. He says that if your children mess it up so that it's not seen, so that it becomes cloudy days, he says, nevertheless, I will not utterly take away that which I've already promised. I will not allow or suffer my faithfulness to fail. Verse 34, my covenant I will not break, nor will I alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, his throne as the sun before me. Again, God bases things on that which is eternal, that which only he can affect change by. Even when I don't see the sun because of a cloudy day, the sun did not move. There can be something between me and the sun, but the sun, the Bible calls it a faithful witness. The sun and the moon, God calls them his faithful witness. Okay? So then I've got to stop trying to look at things from my perspective and then glean from his perspective, because the heavens are telling me a different story. Glory to God. The heavens are telling me the story of his glory. Oh, that's just good. See, if I would look in the right places, not look to my circumstance to get my information. If I would look to the heavens would tell a different story. The heavens tell the story of his glory. Okay? And the story of his glory, he has invited me into that story. Hallelujah. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the glory will not be of us, but of God. We've been invited into the story of glory. Hallelujah. And it's the glory of God that makes the difference. It's the glory that alters the thing. Okay? That's why it said in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And we beheld what? We beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When I look unto the glory, I will then be looking unto grace and truth. See? And then that glory, that same chapter tells us that if I would believe on him, then he would give me the power to become sons. Okay? When I operate in the power that I have to become son, I will stop being the one that is going through this or that. Okay? Because the power to become son gives me the power to effect change, to go unto victory. Okay? We can look at our trek. We can look at our journey as laborious, or we can look at one with expectation. It all is left up to us, isn't it? If I'm walking through a trial and I'm thinking that it's unfair, that's going to be a long trial. But if I'm walking with expectation and hope, I've shortened that trial immensely. Because now I've entered into a now faith is scenario. Because I'm not looking at the trial. For glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says that we have the ability to change the thing while we look not at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary. They are subject to change. But the things that are not seen are deathless and eternal. See? So we have the ability to elongate or to shrink the time frames. If I'm going to look at my circumstances and gauge my life based on that, I'm going to have a long road to hoe. But if I would look at the thing by faith, in expectation and hope, then I can get there now, because now faith is. Okay, now faith gives me substance to what I was hoping for. It gives me tangibility. And we beheld his glory. We looked at his glory. And that glory became tangible. We beheld it. That glory can be held. See, I'm just trying to cause you to think from a different perspective, because we've been going around mountains long enough in the position of accusation of God, thinking that for some reason he just doesn't know what I'm going through, or that he doesn't care. Now, you remember the disciples had that same issue. They were in the middle of a storm. Even though Jesus had told them, we're going to go to the other side. So all they had to do was keep the word rather than look at the circumstances. But because they have been trained to look at circumstances, they were mad because he was in the back of the boat asleep. And they went and woke him up and say, look, Jesus, Master, do you even care that we perish? And he woke up and he asked them a question. He said, how is it that you have no faith? And then he looked at the sea and he looked at the waves and he looked at the wind and he said, peace, be still. Why was he able to say that? Because the instructions were, you're going to the other side. All of this hollering and screaming by winds and waves, that stuff is not important. Tell it to shut up. Peace, be still. And in one of those accounts, it said that as soon as he said that, immediately they were on the other side. Why? Because the thing that they could see now was the word that had been promised prior to the trial. When I see the word that was spoken prior to the trial, I will come out of the trial. Because he's given me the power to become. Come on, y'all. See? And the enemy is trying to get us to look at the situation and then judge God because of the situation and forget the word that was spoken prior to the trial ever coming. You do recognize Jesus gave us this information in Mark chapter 4. He says the sower sows the word. So it was not an issue about the word being sown. And then it went through the delineation of where the word was sown. Stony ground, the cares of this world. Jesus said, let me give you an understanding, because if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any. After the parable, the first thing he said is that the thief, the Satan comes immediately to steal the word. He comes at you, and he's going to use those five things, trials, tribulation, persecution, affliction, the cares of this world, the lust of other things. He's going to use that to get the word out of your heart, because the word is your navigation to end up in victory. If I get rid of the word, then I have no navigation. I'm going to be lost in storms. But if I would hold on to the word, then the word will give me my navigation to get to the place of victory every time, all the time. See, that's why he sent his word to heal us and to deliver us. He sent the word as our navigation package. But we look at situations and circumstances and allow that to determine how we walk. When I walk according to the dictates of the flesh, I am not walking in the spirit. And since I'm not walking in the spirit, I'm going to elongate my time travel for that situation. Because I can get over it in a day. Don't take long at all. It really doesn't. See? Because he said, today, if you will hear his voice. So it doesn't take long at all. I can get this thing over with today. See? But it requires me hearing the word of the Lord instead of hearing my own flesh tell me how uncomfortable whatever the situation is that I'm in or facing. See, we don't bring God the word that he gave us to let us know that we are on his side. We bring God accusations because the devil's talking to us, and God keeps coming back and asking us, who told you that you were going to lose? Who told you you was naked? Why are you listening to other voices other than mine? I've already given you the victory. I always cause you to triumph. I didn't send a word to you to frustrate you. I sent a word to deliver you. And my deliverance is in all situations. See? God doesn't have to do anything. Jesus did not say it's almost finished. He didn't say I want it to be finished. He stayed with it until he could say, it is finished. Same thing for us. God doesn't want to say half done. He wants to say well done. A thing that is well done is a thing that is finished. See? And you are the one that has the ability to determine how long the trial is going to be. Today, if you would, hear his voice. See? They didn't hear. They didn't mix the word with faith. And it took them 40 years to get to the place God told them to go to. Come on, y'all. Just look at that. He told them to go to the promised land. And because they didn't mix faith with it, but they would look at all the situations, they would say things like that God brought us out here to die because he didn't have the ability to maintain our cause even in Egypt. I mean, these were their words. This was their heart position. See? And I would submit to you that some of our heart positions are exactly the same way. Because we go to God based on the trial, and we don't bring his faithfulness into play at all. He says, "My faithfulness is not supposed to be on trial. My faithfulness should be displayed. Even if people don't do what I said, yet, nevertheless, my loving kindness will not be forsaken. I will not alter." I mean, just look at that. He said, I'm not going to even alter the thing that is going forth out of my mouth. Glory to God. So when the trial comes, God does not have to rewrite the script. Did you get that? He does not alter the word that has come out of his mouth. The word that came out of his mouth is, I will be with him. Wow, thank you, sir. Psalms 91. I will be with him. I will be with him to deliver him. And with long life, I will satisfy him. You right there next door. If you was in Psalm 89, just go to Psalm 91. Glory to God. Starts off real powerful. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And because he abides under the shadow, his conversation changes. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. I will say he is my fortress. I will say he is my God, and in him I will trust. Then because I say that, now surely he shall deliver me. Not maybe, not hopefully. He will not alter the thing that is going forth out of his mouth. Surely he will deliver me. Well, what will he deliver me from? From the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I will trust. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. I will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my right side, and 10,000 at my right hand, But it shall not come nigh me. Only with my eyes shall I see and behold the reward of the wicked. Why? Because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, the Most High, my habitation. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling, because he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. They shall bear me up in their hands, lest I should dash my foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore God says to me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him, and I will honor him with long life. I will satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. He did not say he was going to talk about his salvation. He said he's going to show it to me. Amen. See, he's faithful that calls you. See, he's not playing here. He's just asking us to go after God because of his faithfulness that's on display. Don't go after him and put his faithfulness on trial. Now, I would submit to you that that's probably what we've done. More than we can shake a stick at. I said that better, didn't I? See? So, I mean, we've just got to get to the place where we allow God to be God, and he wants to be God in us. Isn't that what it says, 1 John? Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Or greater is he that's in you than the one that can come against you. Well, what shall separate you from the love of God? Persecution, distress, nakedness, peril? Nay, even if he could bring all of these things at the same time, I'm still more than a conqueror through him that loved me, through him that gave himself for me. He already came and walked this thing out. So my steps that are already ordered of the Lord, my steps that have been preordained that I should walk in them. So when I find myself walking in steps of fear and intrepidation, those are not the steps that were preordained for me to walk in. See, I'm walking after the flesh. I'm walking after an emotional connection rather than a spiritual guaranteed connection. My word, I will not alter, that has gone out of my lips. If he said it to David, and I read it for David, then he said it to me. Because no scripture is of any private interpretation. None of them. See? So this is what we must get our hearts wrapped around. I said I was going to revisit that, show you that. Turn to Numbers chapter, I think it's 23:19. Okay, we're talking about the faithfulness of God. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. And he says this: God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? See, he asked those questions to our heart. Do we think that God is a man that he should lie? Do we think that God is the son of man that he should repent? Do we think that he said it, but it really didn't mean anything? He's spoken it, and it's not going to be good? See, God is trying to get us to enter into the place, the mind reference that says, okay, good, my circumstances should not speak louder to me than my God. If my circumstances speak louder than my God, then my circumstances have just become my God. That's why he asks us not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. Because if I'm walking by faith, I have to walk by the word of God that's alive on the inside of me that I've already released as a truth in the earth. Because I can call those things that be not as though they were. See, I can release faith in the earth as a truth that will be established because I have been given the power to become a son in that area of my life. But if I'm going to walk by what I see, then I'm going to begin to accuse God based on my circumstance. unfair, and unbelief. See? I have the ability to change things, but I can't change things if the sight that I have is not accurate by the Spirit. If I am speaking things from my flesh, from worry, from fear, from intrepidation, from historical accounts, glory to God, I'll throw that one out there. See, I can speak things based on historical accounts. That's why God said, even if his children forsake my ways, I'm not going to base this on historical accounts. Nevertheless, I'm not going to take away my loving kindness. I'm not going to base my loving kindness on historical accounts. Don't tell me about what your mom and your grandmama did. Don't base it on that. Base it on the faithfulness of God. He that calleth you, he is faithful. He will not alter the thing that is going out of his mouth. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not bring it to pass? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not make it good? See, that's the position of my heart. Now I'm back in expectation. I don't know how he's going to do it. I only know that he said he would. I want to go to this account. So turn to Acts chapter 12, and I'll just wrap it up here. I've been trying to get to this for quite some time. But Acts chapter 12. Okay? And so it's just really good to know some things that God has set in motion that I can see his faithfulness in action. See? I mean, his faithfulness was so... it was so... needed to have the first church anchored in. See, all of the trials that the first church went through, those trials were things that were used to establish strength in the Lord. And we've got to have that same mindset that we will be established, that we will be unmovable. Because if you're unmovable in your position in Christ, then you will always abound in blessing. Glory to God. Okay? So let's look at what he says in Acts chapter 12. These were the attacks that the devil was setting up to try to stop the church. And it starts with verse 1. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Okay? He stretched forth his hands to vex them. This was his purpose. This was not done accidentally. This was done on purpose. He stretched forth his hands with this in mind. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarturions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. But Peter, therefore, was kept in the prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church of the church unto God for him. Kind of put a star by that scripture. Okay, notice this. Please notice this. Just look at what he just said here. He said that the enemy put forth his hand to vex. And he was had already killed James, and he had arrested Peter. And he was going to bring Peter so that they can make mockery of him and kill Peter like he killed James. But notice that the hand of the enemy was stayed because the hands of the church, prayer was made. The position of prayer, the hands clasped together. It could have been walking around. It could have been standing. I don't have an issue with that. I just want you to see that prayer is going to stop the hand of the enemy. Okay? And this prayer, he said, was made without ceasing. There's going to be some interesting things that we're going to bring out about that. And verse 6, when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands, from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And he so did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about me, about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And he wished not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. And when they had passed the first and second ward, they came into an iron gate that leadeth to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. And Peter, when he had come to himself, saith, now of a surety, I know that the Lord has sent his angel and have delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Now, let's go in here and dig in and see something. Notice that even in the midst of the plan of the devil, the purpose of God must be seen. And the phrase we see here is in verse 7. In the prison, notice this, Peter was kept delivered to four quarter. I don't even know how many a quarturion is, okay? But it sounds like a bunch to me. It says one quarturion would be enough, four quarturions of soldiers, okay? And then he was sleep in between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers were before the door, and they kept the prison. So this looks like a situation that just ain't no victory coming out of this at all. And if I'm going to judge God by my circumstances, I would not have been able to do what Peter did. Peter was asleep. Glory to God. I mean, now you got to know that, there was bragging going on from Herod's position, because Herod had plans of killing Peter. It was a happy thought that he had, because he'd already killed James, and he saw that this pleased the Jews, so he was going to go for part two. Okay? So it was not like Peter did not have an inkling of what was supposed to happen according to the situation that he was in. But being in this situation, Peter said, I'm going to go to sleep. Glory to God. See, he didn't judge God based on the... Come on. If I'm in the middle of the prison, four quarturion of soldiers around me, in between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and I don't know how many keepers are in front of the door, I probably would have wanted to at least judge God just a little bit. And my prayer would have been from a position of, oh, woe is me, because it's the truth. Can't you see, God? Peter was asleep. Glory to God. And it says, and behold, verse 7, the angel of the Lord. I love the phrases that you see in the word. It says the angel of the Lord came upon him. It did not say he came unto him. So then what I can see from that is that the answer came from the inside up on. You've got more power. Greater is he that is in you. You've got more power on the inside. Glory to God. You have more power on the inside than the devil can ever push against from the outside. Greater is he that's in you. Amen. You have more power on the inside. The angel came up on him. I just thought that was interesting. and a light shine in the prison. I just want you to get this. Notice how God does his deliverance up on and in. He didn't bring Peter out to deliver him. He started the process of deliverance right where he was from the inside. We are looking for God to come and remove us when we don't have nothing on the inside. Peter's victory came because of that which was on the inside. Wherever you are in the trial, the victory to the trial is in you. Amen. Then he came upon him, and the revelation shined. It's like this. God began to show him stuff. In fact, Peter was so accustomed to this that he thought this was a dream. He didn't know that it was actually happening. He was satisfied that that which was working on the inside was enough for his deliverance. Come on, y'all. He didn't even know that it was happening. He was satisfied with the revelation that God gave him, because this is Peter, the one that understood that when you have a revelation from God, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the revelation. They can't stop it. So then he was happy with just having a revelation, because the promise of God was enough for him. I hope you caught that. But watch what happens. The revelation caused actions. The first action is the angel smote Peter, and the angel raised him up. See? The revelation produced this action. And then the revelation caused new commands to come in. He said, arise up quickly. Oh, it has to be something important in that quickly right there. Come on, y'all. Peter was in a state of rest, and the angel of the Lord put him in the state of alert. Arise quickly. Then he said, as he did that, there was a response to the commands that came because of the revelation. The response was, his chains fell off. Glory to God. I'm trying to get you to understand the faithfulness of God. When we put our heart in this position, things change because of his faithfulness. None of these things, as we see them right now, none of these things were done by Peter. The chains fell off. And then new direction was given to Peter because the situation, glory to God, because the situation has changed. He was no longer bound between two soldiers. He was no longer bound with two chains. And God is doing this in such a great way, he didn't even bother waking up the soldiers. None of them. They were not aware of this revelation. They were not aware of this deliverance going on. So that tells me that I don't have to make announcements to the devil about all the stuff God is doing for me. I can just enjoy the deliverance, can't I? He told him, gave him new directions. Gird thyself and bind thy sandals. So then new directions require new applications. Now a walk of faith was required. He said, now follow me. Bind up thy sandals. Looking at it. Angel said, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And then now Peter gets involved. And he did so. And he said, now get dressed, put your garment around thee, and follow me. New applications require a new walk. A new walk opens up new opportunities. Follow me. And he went out and followed him. And he didn't know that it was true, which was done, but he thought it was a vision. And then when they were past the first and second ward, I want you to notice that it says that he walked past the first and the second ward. I don't know how many, the four quadrillion, I don't know how many were in each one of those wards, but he walked past through the first and the second ward. I just want you to get this. Look at how God is doing this. He doesn't care. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6, says that God knows how to deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. Four quadrillions meant nothing to God. That only meant something to the people that were trying to keep him in bondage. It didn't mean nothing to God. It could have been, for all intents and purposes, 17 quadrillions of angels. And he still would have walked past the first and second ward. Because he knows how to deliver by many or by few. And then it says that when they came unto an iron gate. And this iron gate leads to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And I had never saw this before. But see, the deliverance of God had already taken place because it did not say that the iron gate was the gate to the prison. It said the iron gate was the gate to the city, the gate to new opportunities, the gate to deliverance. Come on, y'all. Do you see what I'm saying? It's important because it's written that way. At the end of the gate, I would have thought that they would have told me that the gate out of the prison was open. But he didn't tell me that it was the gate to the prison. It was the gate that leadeth to the city. They were already out of the first and second ward. They were probably out of the prison. This is the one that the visitors, if you would come in so that they can go into the gate. They're at that gate, and that gate opened unto them of its own accord. See, when you have a revelation, okay, come on. When you have a revelation, gates move. Upon this rock, Peter, this rock of revelation, I'm going to give it to you, and the gates of hell can't stand in the way, Peter. They will open to you of their own accord. Glory to God. And then they passed on through one street, and then the angel departed. So then the revelation took Peter out of prison through a gate that opened of his own accord to the next street, to one street beyond captivity. And then he said, now, Peter, walk the rest in faith. And then Peter got the revelation after he went one street over. He said, now he came to himself because the angel left. And he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and out of all the expectations of the people. I mean, that just really blesses me. Because when I look at God and his faithfulness to the point where I can rest in him, sleep in the prison, when I can rest in him, then he says God is going to do things because his faithfulness is on display. All of the time, Peter could have been in this jail questioning the faithfulness of God. You do remember John the Baptist questioned the faithfulness of God. And he asked questions like, is this he, or do I seek another? Well, that cost John his life, didn't it? Because the same God that just delivered Peter knew how to deliver John. But John had evidence of being disappointed. Is this him? Or do I have to stay in here and pray some more? Do I seek another? I thought it was him. I wanted it to be him. But now that I'm in jail, is this him? Or should I seek another? I mean, John the Baptist sometimes had the same heart positions that we possess. Because Jesus said about John, he said, there is no greater prophet that has ever been born. But the one that's least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. So then Jesus is asking us to stop acting like a disappointed John, a John that is full of accusations and frustrations. Start being like Peter, who trusts to the point of rest. And then God is able to deliver by many or by few. He's faithful that calleth you. Then the next day, of course, everything went to getting crazy. Peter went on to the house where they were praying. and watch this. Verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark, where they were gathered together praying. These are the people that's praying now, without ceasing. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened the gate. She opened not the gate, even though she was happy that she heard his voice. But she ran in and said, Peter's outside before the gate. And these believing people, these praying people, said, it's his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, he saw him, they were what? Astonished. These praying people were astonished. But he said, hush, I know, hold your peace, because I'm kind of amazed my doggone self. I didn't know this stuff was happening either. I thought it was a dream. And then he told them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. I mean, were you talking about a praise service? My God. For him to delineate again that the angel came and said, behold, look into this. I want you to arise quickly. I want you to get dressed. I want you to follow me. And then they walked through the first ward. I don't know what the conversation could have been from the first ward when Peter looked around and said, they all asleep and they ain't woke up. Not a one of them is moving. And then they walked through the second ward. And Peter said, he is still, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and they are safe. And God is moving me and the tower through all of the adversities. I went through the first ward. I went through the second ward, and God didn't even allow them to wake up. I didn't even know what those conversations were. Then they got to the gate, and the gate opened, and Peter's going to tell them, no, we didn't come up to the gate and knock. I didn't come up to the gate and it was locked. I was walking toward the gate, and the gate opened by itself. The gate that was supposed to keep me in, because it had received instructions and it said, now is the time for deliverance. The gate opened of its own accord. And then I kept on walking, and I went to a first street. I went to one street so that I will now know how to walk the rest of the way by faith. Then I came here. And I knocked on the door, and I began to laugh on the outside because I was saying exactly what y'all were saying while I was inside the prison. I don't know how this is going to be, but God brought the revelation to me and then worked the revelation through me. Then he said, and I'm just going to leave, and tomorrow they had a whole bunch of conversations going on. This is what God and his faithfulness wants to do in your life. He wants to display new opportunities as you walk in faith. Things that you've never seen before. Gates that have never been opened before begin to open of their own accord. This is what you have been invited to. This is the story of the glory that God wants to release through you. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you for your word. A word that has the ability to bring us out of whatever we're facing and bring us out victorious. In an area that we don't know or see, in an area that's dark, in an area that's cloudy, you want to shine your glory into our situation, come up on us, and let the power that's in us be released so that we would enjoy the deliverance that you've already commanded for our lives, even from the foundation of the world. Thank you, Father, for growing us up in you and making us understand how to walk in this type of victory. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
All right, folks. For those of you out there listening and would like to join us in commentary and conversation tonight, if you would hit option 1 on your phone, just press 1 on your phone, and that will it will alert us to let us know that you have that you would like to speak and let us know what you think of tonight's teaching and add anything that you have revelation that the Most High has brought to you. So, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and start with area code 312-330. You have the mic.
Hello? Okay,
yes,
I just wanted to I just wanted to say praise God for your teaching tonight. There were some things that you said that, of course, brought other things to my mind. One, when you were talking about when the disciples were in the boat with Jesus in Mark 4, and he said, let us go to the other side. And the thing that stuck out for me when you said that, Jesus said to them, how is it you have no faith?
No faith.
He didn't
That's right.
He didn't say, how is it you just have a little faith or, you know, come on. We're going to work with this, and I'm going to help you build up your faith. You know, he said, how is it with Jesus right there in the boat with him, the boat was going to sink with Jesus in it. And he said to them, how is it you have no faith? And that just catches me every time that I hear that, because we think that we have that at least that little mustard seed, but that's not always the case. And we have to remember that Jesus said, or that God said, now faith. It's not tomorrow faith. It's
now faith.
Everybody puts a comma after that word. Now
that's good,
faith
is
the substance of faith. No, that's not what it says. It says now faith. You have to exercise your faith right now. And like I said, I just thank God that you bring all of those things out. And you have a unique way of saying things. The Holy Ghost gives you a unique way of saying things so that they sound fresh and that they you can definitely feel and hear the anointing.
Amen.
So
that's what I look for.
Okay.
Amen. Again,
and thank
you for being part of it. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
God bless you.
I appreciate it. Amen.
Bye-bye.
It's just good. I like you say, most of the things that you hear, they're coming in fresh because I don't even know that I'm going to say them. Some of them I have rehearsed before, but generally when we are in the middle of the broadcast, it is a fresh word, and that's just why it does sound like that, I guess, is because it is fresh. I go after the word for a revelation that's right now, because that's what I need. Yesterday's manna, I was trained that that's not what we're supposed to live in, so I try to find that which is fresh. So, amen. Thank you for being on the call again. Amen. All right, Brother Mike.
Amen. All right, area code 404-394. 404-394, you have the mic.
Amen. Go ahead.
All right.
Okay.
Area code 352-870. 352-870.
Thank you for being on the call. Go ahead. And again, you don't have to, if you don't want to. Again, I offer this opportunity not to put anyone on the spot, not to broadcast a different perspective. You know, people will say, well, you agree with, okay, I don't have a way. Let me just throw that out there. All I have is the Word of God that is alive in my heart, and I would like to share it with people that as they hear it, they can then grasp it, and we can walk together in victory. I am not asking people to sign up to the Stevie Lee class of belief, okay? I am offering you opportunities because the Bible says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and this is simply an opportunity for that testimony to be known. That's all this is for. Amen. All right, Brother Mike.
Amen. All right, area code 678-294. 678-294. You have the mic.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Brother Steve, I just appreciate the word tonight. It's been such good news for me, just how you are teaching us and reminding us of how powerful the word is, and so powerful that himself tries to come after it. It's one of the first things that he tries to see.
Right.
Yes. And just because it's alive and it guides us.
Yeah.
And it's in us because he's hidden himself in that word. And so I'm just reminded to guard the word carefully and to be mindful of what we're hear or let rest on it. Because I think we're to work either way, whether it's God's word or oppositional to God's word. But I certainly want God's word, as you reminded us, that it's God's inviting us to a place, you said, where he wants to open doors that he's never opened before. And I do want this full blessing. So thank you for that.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for being part of the call. And it works. Ironically and unfortunately, your heart will keep the good or the bad. It doesn't matter. It's up to you to deal with that. So if you want to bring forth good fruit, then you're going to have to maintain and be diligent over making the heart good. Jesus told us, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. It's up to you to make it.
Yeah, no half
double. Yeah. Ain't no gang of peanuts. Amen. Thank you for joining the call.
Amen. All right. Area code 470-418. 470-418. You have the mic.
Amen. Wow. You know, God is so good.
All right.
God is so good.
Well, that is the end of our list of callers for this evening, Pastor Steve. What would you like to close us out on?
Again, just go back. Again, I would recommend to go back and listen at it. And take your notes, go to your notes, look down your notes and see what revelations God gave to you. I truly expect that the same Spirit of God that dwells in me dwells in you, and he will bring life to the word that he has put in front of us. This is a table that he made. And so I'm not just the servant, I partake. That's what Jesus told me I had to do. We first must first be a partaker of the fruit. Okay, so I eat this too. This is good for me because life happens when we participate in the word. So that's all I would like to just remind us, that let's live the word. Keep it alive. Keep it active. And then enjoy what God does in these new opportunities, these new doors that he's going to open for you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, well, that does conclude our broadcast for this evening. If you have been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com, please sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com. There you can go to our donate tab and then make a donation there. And with that being said, if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone. Have a good night, and may the good Lord bless you and keep you. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.